is Betty Hinch, senior editor of HFMA's Forums and Newsletters, talking with Sharp Healthcare's Paul Belton and Dr. Janice Aman-Nozawa on identifying risk areas for hospital overpayment or underpayment. Paul is Vice President of Corporate Compliance, and Janice is Sharp's Corporate Compliance Clinical Audit Specialist. Paul and Janice, welcome to HFMA's Voices in Healthcare Finance podcast.
Hi, thank you so much for having me here. I really, really appreciate it, and I'm honored.
Thank you very much.
Paul, can you describe the data mining process for identifying claims that may be subject to over or underpayment?
The data mining process actually starts with a data mining software tool. And that's an analysis with which we identify the DRGs that are potentially at risk, as well as reward. I think it's very imperative to understand that corporate compliance as a role can be very beneficial in not only looking at risk, but also potential reward. And what we do is we collect information on high-risk DRGs from a variety of sources. That includes the OIG work plan, PEPPER reports, CMS MedPAR data, RAC or now recovery auditor denial reports, and other various identifiers where the federal government has regulatory agencies, and even including the Medicare administrative contractors, are looking at and identifying potential claims. After identifying these high-risk DRGs with potential overpayment as well as underpayment, we then run a 3M report to identify qualified accounts in the past quarter. Depending on the type of risk, we will run the report months or even years back if necessary. There's additional report criteria that could be included, such as the length of stay in comparison to the geometric mean length of stay, DRGs with comorbidities and complications, or what we refer to as CCs, and then major comorbidities and complications, MCCs, secondary diagnoses, and other pertinent criteria on a case-by-case basis. We're more focused on DRGs that are more prone to coding errors. These are usually more of the complex cardiac cases and respiratory cases and the like. To monitor risks as well as coding accuracy and compliance, we then select at least 30 accounts per each of the facilities within our system for a review. This data usually gives us a good picture of where we are doing very well in the system and where we need to improve, with a variety of areas that we can pinpoint and then begin to do a deeper dive or a deeper auditing process.
Thank you for that detailed description. What is the time frame for completing that data mining process?
We don't actually have a specific time frame for completing the data mining process for any specific audit. It could take us a day or two to compare data from different sources or much longer. We generally create an audit plan for the entire fiscal year, and this is a makeup from our risk assessment, as well as whatever may crop up or come up during that particular quarter. And then we divide those DRG risks throughout the year into the four separate quarters. Usually a specific audit is started at the first month of a quarter. To run the report for qualified audits usually takes just about, anywhere from 15 to 20 minutes. And then the auditing process usually takes us about 2 to 4 weeks, depending on the volume within our system.
In a recent HFMA legal and regulatory forum article, you recommended digging deep whenever there are principal diagnoses like simple pneumonia, and digging even deeper when claims without comorbidities or multiple comorbidities have secondary diagnoses. Why do you recommend this?
Ideally, whenever we have opportunities, we always want to get more specific. And what you want to do is kind of have a mindset of moving from unspecificity to greater specificity. The ICD-9 and the ICD-10 coding systems have lended itself to that. Historically, the 0.9s, the 0.0s, those particular codes are unspecified, and those are the ones that could be flagged by external auditors. Case example, I believe simple pneumonia can be very difficult. It's a very difficult diagnosis to determine because, simply put, simple pneumonia can in fact be quite complex, both clinically as well as from a coding perspective. Additionally, historically, I believe that hospitals have been a little bit gun-shy in coding, for example, complex pneumonia. When you look at the birth of compliance, Way back in 1998, we even had the situation with which what they referred to as the DRG pneumonia upcoding cases. Back east, there was a software firm in which they actually looked at results of their work, and they initiated a very large big false claims lawsuit for pneumonia upcoding that they dealt with. And that was the beginning or the birth of looking at hospitals that were potentially overcoding. And as such, again, as I mentioned, I think hospitals have been a little bit more gun-shy, actually, health information management coders in looking for greater specificity within the codes and querying doctors to get you to that greater complexity. Bottom line is, we want to get more specific for both the quality of care as well as coding. We're always trying to think of a mindset of greater specificity, not only for the treatment of that patient, but also for properly capturing that diagnosis so that we would be able to ensure that our reimbursement is duly justified as well as rewarded for that particular treatment. And this can be done through a variety of areas, at looking at clinical indicators, medications that are being given to the patient, as well as tracking with that particular mindset of the physician. If they're not specific, then obviously the coders can't be as specific. We can only code what's documented.
Additionally, we recommend digging deep whenever there are principal diagnoses like simple pneumonia. For simple pneumonia, those are the DRG like 195 and without the comorbidities. Most likely the patient that comes in acute care hospital and they get admitted, these patients are not only sick, they have other diseases on top of what they have. And that population, more likely they will have comorbid condition. So in simple pneumonia, they come in. People who have a simple pneumonia, they could probably go to the outpatient, get their oral antibiotics. But when they come in and they need this really, really specific antibiotics, most likely these pneumonia are not simple. Most likely these are caused by bacterial infection that requires meropenem. So there could be a pseudomonal pneumonia. And then on top of this, the comorbid condition like CHF, for example, this most likely is a chronic condition, and the physician already know in their head what kind of CHF this is, but they are so embedded in taking care of the patient that they think documentation is not as important as for them to go to the patient and take care of them. They just write down the medication, they already know it, but they don't know that documentation is more important as well, especially in the transfer of care of the patient that requires that specific medication for the patient or specific care for that patient. The diagnosis like hypertension, they write these things down, but we could look at the record and see if they also have the other signs and symptoms of shock. Because whenever they have hypertension, they put the patient in the ICU. What if the other conditions leads to shock? And then the bedridden, it could be a functional quadriplegia. Most physicians don't know this term, and then they need to be educated. So why we think these DRGs are very important, our gold mine is for us for the taking, because simple pneumonia, when you have a more specific bacterial pneumonia as a principal diagnosis, it leads to the 177 DRG, which are your respiratory infections instead, which is a higher weighted DRG.
Paul and Janice, thank you for sharing details on data mining to improve claim accuracy, ensure proper payments, and reduce denials. Podcast listeners can read more about Paul and Janice's process at SHARP in HFMA's Legal and Regulatory Forum at hfma.org/legalforum/datamining.